Thank you. Good afternoon. And as you, for those of you who have the hard copy of the program, you'll see that I am not Julie Scholl, who was not able to be here and sends her regrets from Nemours. And so I am at the Gretchen Swanson Center for Nutrition, and we are actually doing the evaluation for the full ECELC project. I could probably talk 10 minutes just about this, which is the model for ECELC. And it's a theory of change model. And just so you know, this is a pretty large project, and it is funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It currently is in its fourth year, just started its fourth year. And Nemours is a partner, as well as the Gretchen Swanson Center for Nutrition. And there are other multiple partners in this, so state implementing partners, project coordinators, and it's using a train-the-trainer approach, which I'll talk more about. And then there are a lot of materials as part of this, a curriculum, and then there are self-assessments that I'll talk about too, and financial resources that are provided. And then as far as activities go, there are state-level engagement of doing stakeholder interview to get folks integrated into the process. Then there's recruitment of the ECE centers, and then the actual engagement with these ECE centers across the U.S. And again, I'll talk about where they're located. And it's a learning collaborative, and it also includes action periods. As far as outcomes go, we're really looking at self-assessments, but this year, this past year, we also did some observations, which I won't talk about in detail, but just that we did conduct them. But really what we were looking at was to change policies and practices with regard to breastfeeding, screen time, nutrition, and physical activity as short term. And then intermediate, we'd love to see these things sustained within these states over time in these ECE centers. And then from a long-term perspective, what we're hoping is that this can then actually be sustained and also just be part of obesity prevention efforts that are going on across the U.S. and specifically in early childhood. So this just gives you a snapshot of the learning sessions. Again, these are conducted over a year time. With each learning session, there are five learning sessions. After each learning session is an action period. Again, NAPSAC, which is the nutrition and physical activity, self-assessment child in child care settings, is used also for assessment as well as action planning. And you could, again, see the various topic areas that are included throughout this. So as far as states go, this has been it's a pretty widespread intervention. And so, and there are multiple cohorts, and so it kind of gets confusing. I'm gonna present results today on just the first cohort. But as far as the cohorts go, the first cohort was the states that are in the pink color. And so it was actually six states originally, and then Florida was broken up into two different sites. So it was seven sites in six states. Since then, the second cohort includes Virginia, Kentucky, and California. And then this year, Washington and Alabama have been added. So I'm in the state of Nebraska. It's not, we're close by in Nebraska, but there's no ECELC in Nebraska yet. So just again, to give you a sense of kind of the scope and who this is reaching, right now we have almost 1,300 early care and education programs, and this is across Head Start, and various nonprofit, for-profit centers. I mean, it really includes various centers. And the other thing that's, to me, is pretty staggering is just the that reaching 156,000 kids thus far from birth to five. And I wanted to just kind of have snapshots here, but 65% of the programs are preparing meals on site. That was something that was surprising to me. I would have expected there to be parents sending food from home, but that's less so. And then two out of five of the programs are participating in the quality rating improvement system, and three out of five are enrolled in the child and adult feeding program. And then follow-up has included contact with these ECE programs, again, by their trainer, using this train-the-trainer approach. And then there's one group event that gets folks together, gets the child care providers together after the program has concluded. So as I mentioned, I'm just going to give you a snapshot of cohort one. So with regard to cohort one, 572 early care and education programs were enrolled across those seven sites that I mentioned across six states. And the provider relationships really, it was seen that was critical to be able to engage and participate, and that minimized dropout. Overall, to me, I think that 15% of programs dropping out is a pretty low percentage, and most of them dropped out just due to, you know, time constraints and, you know, just not being able to participate. But almost 87% of these programs were successful in creating action-oriented objectives. So giving you a snapshot of some of the evaluation findings. So folks, these child care providers conducted NAPSAC assessment after learning session one and then again after learning session five. So it wasn't a true baseline, but that was how the program was set up. And across the different areas, what we see with regard to breastfeeding and infant feeding, child nutrition, infant and child physical activity as well as screen time, we actually saw changes in best practices. So that what you see on the right are the changes in best practices that occurred something like child nutrition obviously has 44 items, so you would expect a larger change to occur, but all of these were significant for all the categories. So just the idea of implementing this in the real world, there's always going to be real world considerations. So one of the things that's been brought up during this is that, you know, state organizations really need to have the organizational capacity, and some of them currently have the bandwidth to be able to manage and implement a project of this scope. And then programs did find it difficult to participate. You know, they have a lot of other things that are going on, so to actually incorporate this in and doing sessions as well as homework, which we know actually improves the practices, but it's a big commitment. And then we found that corporate programs were interestingly harder to engage and participate than the nonprofits and the Head Starts and the faith-based. Part of me wonders if they have their own kind of program set up, and so, you know, the infrastructure's there, maybe they don't want to participate as much. And then involving parents and supporting changes at home really needs to be more intentional. So it's built into the program right now, but I think that in moving ahead, one of the things that NMORS is interested in is actually what kind of parenting component could be ramped up. So as far as kind of changes in the model, so this has been very iterative as it's gone along. So, the changes in the model, for instance, N of 3 collaboratives per state is now, before it was 5 collaboratives per state, before there were more programs per collaborative, and so that was reduced. Things were streamlined, basically. So before the ECE program size, they needed to be 100 plus kids to participate, and now that's down as well. And then I mentioned about weaving the parent involvement. One of the things also is using the digital TA form. So we created these digital TA forms using the iPad minis, and that was really terrific, and the child care providers found it very easy to use, so and as well as the trainers. So TA requests were put through. It was just much more streamlined. Information could be uploaded, and that was one thing that we found was very useful. And then I mentioned, and I won't be able to go into any depth, but we also last year conducted the Environment and Policy Assessment and Observation, EPAO, and we did that with 24 programs. And what we wanted to see was whether or not these changes were really occurring. So obviously when you have a self-assessment like NAPSAC, which is actually not really planned as an assessment tool to measure outcomes as much as it is for actual implementation, to have the objective sort of measure is really good. Our preliminary data shows that there were improvements via EPAO in addition to the NAPSAC improvements, and one of the things we're looking at is EPAO compared to NAPSAC, and so we'll have results on that too. So just as far as current and future areas that we're exploring. One of the things that we've been participating in is a family child care intervention that we've been doing the evaluation with my center, and it was piloted in Kansas. And so it's not, it's basically the ECLC curriculum was changed to be a family child care curriculum more relevant to them. And so we're testing that out. In addition, I had mentioned about Alabama starting, and they're going to do a hybrid collaborative. So they're going to do family child care and center-based child care, and that's starting in 2016. And really, also the idea of looking at sustainability and integration efforts. So these programs that are being implemented in the ECLC is not happening in isolation. There are other programs that are happening throughout the United States. And so seeing what other programs are happening and what's contributing to obesity prevention efforts and so on. And then I mentioned before how important it is really to have the parenting component. And so General Mills Foundation has funded Nemours to do piloting in actually in Ohio. And that's going to be starting in 2016. So it's going to be working with the existing curriculum and building off of that to have a parenting component that will be implemented and assessed. And then staff wellness, it looks like I need to wrap up, but I'll say one quick thing about staff wellness that I think is really key. I went to a session yesterday, if you weren't there. It was very interesting as far as like, for me, it was a bit of an aha moment. I do work in food insecurity, and a lot of these child care providers themselves are struggling financially, and they're visiting food banks. And so we're expecting these child care providers to be promoting nutrition and physical activity when they themselves don't even have not necessarily the training, or even they're not able to get that themselves. And so I think that's really important to keep in mind. And with that, if you're interested in any information, there are resources online, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. No questions? Wow. Okay.
I have a question. How does the family child care training differ from the center-based child care training? You had mentioned that you're modeling a new training. How, especially like in, well, I'm thinking in breastfeeding terms, of course, but how, what were the components that most needed change?
Well, do you mean for the new one that we're going to do with parents?
Yeah.
That's being...
So it's a family... it's not for family child care home.
Oh, the family child care component. Yeah, so I want to make sure I understand the question, which is the family child care component and how...
The family child care home component. When you started a new model, in the how does that differ from your center-based training?
It really has to do with taking the family-based approach into account, and that it's much smaller, and so from a scale perspective, it's not from a content... it's still the same content areas, but it's really scaling it down and making it more relevant for family child care.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.